Well, hey there. This is Deb, the Horoscope Lady, and it is a lovely, lovely snowy evening here in Northern Virginia on January 17, 2008. And I ask tonight, like I do every week, do you know where your planets are? And if you think you do, just listen for 1 minute, and I'm going to tell you where they are. And if they sound a little bit different than what you think they do or should, well, just keep listening in and become a believer of sidereal astrology. I'm sorry I'm sounding so evangelistic here tonight, but the snow kind of put me in that mood. It is absolutely gorgeous outside my window right now. The moon's starting to come up, and it's really pretty. Anyway, the sun is at 3 degrees Capricorn right now. It just got to Capricorn. It hasn't been there for a month yet. It just got there. Chiron's a Capricorn. Mercury is. Neptune is. The North Node and Uranus are both in Aquarius. The moon is in 2 degrees of Taurus. There it goes. Mars, which has been retrograde for so long now, will be for another 2 weeks. We'll be talking about that some more tonight, is at 1 degrees of Gemini. So if you were born in the middle of June, I know you are having a rougher time than most out there right now. South Node and Saturn share Leo. Venus is in the last couple of degrees of Scorpio. Pluto and Jupiter are in Sagittarius. That's where everything is. Well, let's start out, so much to talk about tonight. Let's start out with this, Mars and Gemini, which if you have heard me, now I have been on BBS since February. This is a third different time spot I've had. So if you haven't heard me, that's why I'm going to go through this again. If you have been listening, you know, and following the show around, bear with me because I've got to talk about Mars here. Now, Mars normally spends 6 weeks in each constellation. And what that means for the average person is for 6 weeks, your life is really energized in a Martian way, you know, and that's not like little green guys with antennae. It's energized in this way that, you know, you got to make something happen, and it's almost divide and conquer. Okay, it's when people will like, you know, okay, I'm going to hit the garage and I'm going to, you know, get rid of the trash and, you know, keep what's good. It's when they go into their office and say, okay, you know, these are projects that are important. These can sit and, or, you know, delegate to someone else. It's almost a divide and conquer kind of energy to it. It's Martian. And that'll be in most people's lives, in an area in their lives, for 6 weeks. Now, every other year, Mars goes retrograde, and what that means is it appears to be going backwards in the sky. If you watch it every night or so, you'll notice instead of going in the same direction, it's moving backwards, you know, as all the other planets. It's now moving backwards in a constellation. And Mars has been doing this since November. It got there in September, but it's been doing this since November, and for another 2 weeks, it'll still be going retrograde in Mercury. And lo and behold, you know, when Mars is retrograde, lots of different things happen. Men, normally being more Martian in nature, they want to talk about their feelings now, or they get more emotional now. They don't have that dividing line, so they can compartmentalize everything like they normally do. So, you know, women out there, if you want to talk to a guy about something, now's the time, of course, to ask him how he feels about something, not just what he thinks about something. And, you know, guys, it's a great time to open up to, you know, your dad, your brothers, you know, someone you wanted to talk to for a while and say, hey, you know what, this is kind of how I feel about this. And you guys can do it without any embarrassment or, you know, you can have a sensitive new age moment without feeling like totally wimpy, okay? You know, that kind of thing. But the other big thing about Mars when it goes retrograde, if anyone starts a war, now starts one during this time period, you lose. And that can be a little war, personal war, or a big, large-scale thing. Troop movements, you know, this is when they said, you know, troops were coming back around Thanksgiving when Mars first went retrograde. Which politically made good sense, but it also astrologically, the timing, you know, was right there. With it retrograde in Gemini, all of a sudden it occurred to me, and shame on me for not thinking about this earlier, the writer's strike. Like, oh, heavens. The writer's strike, which is affecting daily life. Now, not everybody's daily life. If you don't watch a lot of TV, you know, it's really not getting you right now. This has certainly been the longest strike they've ever had. It's making a much stronger impact because it has gone on for so long, and also during the Golden Globes, and if it goes during the Oscars, we may not have the big production that we normally do. No matter what side of the issue that you're on, with Mars retrograde in Gemini, it's all about not communicating. It is all about not being able to sit down and, you know, just say what you want, and the other person hearing it, they're hearing something else entirely. So if there's an area in your life where you are speaking very plainly, almost aggressively, because you're getting angrier and angrier because this person is not hearing you, or the company is not hearing you, or City Hall is not hearing you, take a deep breath, keep at it, and know that when Mars goes direct in 2 weeks, they will hear you loud and clear. So have your facts straight. Do not let your emotion carry you away, because this is not supposed to be about emotion, even though it's easy to feel more emotional. You know, do your best, particularly in 2 weeks, to have a logical approach to it. But if you are seen as the attacker, as the aggressor, and you might have a very good reason to be like this. You know, if you have, you know, a neighbor who's bringing a dog over to do his business on your lawn every day, and, you know, you might have a great reason, you know, to be very emotional about this, but you've got to plead your case in a non-aggressive fashion, and in the next 2 weeks at any rate, for people to hear you. So just that tip out there. At any rate, so the writer strike, I'm thinking right about the time Mercury goes retrograde, which is traditionally what we think of as communication. It's one of its favorite places to hang out, of course, is Gemini. It goes retrograde on January 29th, and Mars will be going direct on January 30th. So I'm thinking the writers, I know the Directors Guild sometime today was pitching forth in some sort of agreement or attempting to get them back to the table. I think the studios are standing firm at this point, but you know, a little bit at a time, it'll come, and I am sure everybody will be talking. If it's not completely resolved, everyone should be talking by January 30th. So that's what I'm looking for when Mars goes direct. So anyway, there you go for that one. A couple things coming up that will affect both the United States and Britain, which I have, you know, kind of been watching. Just, you know, watch the United States anyway, but and Britain, you know, occasionally, because we are, you know, even though we ran away from home, essentially, we broke away from Britain, no matter what your personal feelings are, this country is very much emotionally tied to Britain. Something happens to the royals, or something happens over there, we tune into that as much as we do if it's happening, you know, down the street. So emotionally, you know, our countries are still very tied together. So where do I want to start with this? Well, let's start with the British stuff first, and then I'll go on to the United States. A time is coming up. It's exact, let me see, when is that? February 18th. The transiting planet Uranus is making a square to the United States Venus. Now, what does that mean? Okay. Uranus, I don't do that whole modern, you know, Uranus is in charge of Aquarius kind of thing. I hark back to the old guys who said it's a transpersonal planet. We can't see it with our naked eye, so it is truly transpersonal. So I'm more apt to go along. I use the old rulerships. But at any rate, this transpersonal planet, it is beyond a person's control, and then things will just happen, boom, 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 if you're at the right place at the right time, or you can, or if you can take advantage of it. It is squaring, meaning it's forming a 90-degree angle, a hard angle, a tense angle. It's an action angle with our planet Venus. And that has to do with attraction. It does have to do with a woman that we are either enamored with or we are attracted to in some way, a woman that is important to our culture. And that's what's happening in the United States chart. So I went back and I looked to see, okay, well, what was happening the last time this aspect formed? And that is when I started saying, oh my, this stuff is also happening in England, where it also will affect us. So roundabout way, for anyone who wants to learn about astrology, I gave you all that so you can hear how I'm piecing it together. But let's go back to, let me see, when was that marriage date? Way back in 1923. There we go. And then she got crowned after that. I'm looking. Sorry, I had all this really organized, and then I decided to tidy it up, and you know how that goes on somebody's desk. Okay. Queen Elizabeth, her parents got married the last time Uranus was at this degree of 23 degrees, back in 1923. It was April 26, 1923. Okay. In 1936, Edward, the Prince Albert's older brother, that's Elizabeth's dad, he took the throne and then abdicated it within the year to go off and marry the American, Wallis Simpson, all right? So she became queen after her father passed away in 1953, okay? Uranus was at 23 degrees of, I thought that was interesting, all these 23s were coming up, at 23 degrees of Gemini, which trines Aquarius, makes it easy. It's an easy transition. That's all you need to hear right now. What is coming up for Queen Elizabeth this next month in February is a couple of really big aspects that, let me do that again. I want to see it. Well, it's a couple of things. The planet Neptune, which again is transpersonal, it is conjunct Mars on February 18th. That could mean her husband, it's usually a male leaving someone's life. Now I'm not wishing for that. I'm not, am I speculating? Yes, I'm certainly speculating. This is generally a male leaving someone's life. It's also a time period for a powerful woman. If Mars is on that Neptune, it is a, her activity being diminished. It's like, okay, it's washing away so it can go do something else. So, it could be her husband. Pardon me, 1 minute. Oh, we don't have a cough button over here on this radio. It could be her husband. It could be something going on with just her energy in general. There's an eclipse right there 2 days later, so I'm thinking, okay. She looks like she gives something up by April, and then she has a change of neighborhood again, April, May, somewhere there. Now, her son, Prince Charles, what is going on with his chart at the time? Prince Charles has had a kind of tough time in general. I know his wife has been in, you know, recovery of some kind. So, you know, he's had to visit hospitals or sanitariums or whatever you call them, you know, and he's had all that stuff going on. What is happening in her son's chart right about that time, he has, again, the transpersonal planet Pluto. And yes, I still think it's a planet. It's transiting now his sixth house. I would tell you Pluto's in Sagittarius, and it just got to Sagittarius. you know, the last couple of years. It hasn't been there for 18 years. It's not getting ready to leave. It hasn't left it yet. It's at 6 degrees in February, and it is sitting right on top of his Jupiter in his sixth house. How that translates is it's a change, and it's a transpersonal change in what he does for a living. Now, most of you all listening probably don't realize, you know, the stuff that he's busy with. Like his father, he's been, his father for the last 50 years has been a staunch environmentalist, you know, has been saying over and over and over again, we have to protect the environment, not just the immediate environment. Apparently, he took a trip to Antarctica in the 1950s. And, you know, saw how it was diminishing and started saying way back then, hey, you know, we really got to clean ourselves up. We have to clean the world up. Prince Charles, you know, is also a strong environmentalist. He has an organic food company, actually, employs quite a few people. And, you know, I think it's green packaging, you know, as much as possible. It's just the whole thing of it that a lot of people don't think about that part of the royal family. But his day-to-day life, there's very few things that would make his day-to-day life change greatly. Becoming king certainly would. And again, that is a transpersonal thing. It is something that would be bestowed on him by Parliament if they do. And if not, they certainly could skip him and go to his son, which also would change his life. To where, okay, I'm not ever going to do this thing, I'm going to do something else. But I do think, with another aspect that he's got going, and this will apply to everybody in some way, shape, or form, the, what's called the North Nodes are, in May, are changing signs. And they spend about 18 months in a sign. And on one side, they give you lots of opportunities. On the other side, you lose stuff. It's like you have to lose some stuff in order to gain other stuff. And for Prince Charles, that will be the North Node will be moving into his seventh house, and the South Node will be moving into the first house. Anybody with sidereal Cancer rising, this is not tropical, this is sidereal. Sidereal Cancer rising. You are going to have the same phenomenon, of course, probably not to this extent, but the same phenomenon, where starting in May, you are going to have all these new people come into your life, these do social responsibilities because of the people coming into your life. And to some extent, you will feel like you are losing a piece of yourself. And you have to do that. It's the other that's important. The other thing, sidereal astrologers will say this, and certainly Vedic astrologers will say this, that the seventh house is the house of death. So when something like either Node or Saturn or Mars, sometimes those planets are moving through the seventh house, people around you, your loved ones, you know, will pass away. Certainly sometimes, you know, the person and him or herself will, but usually it's people around you. And you bond with the society that person was in charge of, or you have to leave a society because they passed away. For instance, if you know, I've certainly had this happen to relatives of mine, their husbands were in the military, their husbands, you know, died, and they had to leave the family essentially also had to leave the military. You know, they had to leave base, they had to leave all the friends that they knew and make way for someone else. So it's a transpersonal thing. It's not that you choose to do this. You may choose part of it, certainly. Or say, okay, I agree, you know, to go in this direction, but what happens just kind of takes you along to where you can't even, I mean, it's not even your life anymore as far as the decisions and things that happen. It's very transpersonal. How you buck up under those circumstances, that is your choice. That is your free will. And I do think Prince Charles will do quite well. He's having a Saturn return this year. He will be turning 60 in November. And Saturn returns, they happen somewhere between 28 and 30, and 58 and 60. And if you're fortunate, 88 and 90. And people do, well, they do all kinds of things. Some of them become most people become far more responsible, or they change their responsibilities. They have a second life. People used to retire at 60. Now they're just like, okay, I'm starting the second phase of my life here. I may have retired from one thing, but I'm starting, a brand new life for the next 20 to 30 years. I certainly think Prince Charles will be doing that. So we'll see with that. I thought that was kind of nice. I mean, you never want anyone. The passing away of the old is, sad in some ways, but you kind of like to see the fulfillment of other things. The other thing, back to the United States, and with this interesting Uranus hanging around 23 degrees of Aquarius at this point, and like I said, getting ready to square the United States Venus. And like I said, I hope I'm not doing way too much astrology, but I wasn't quite sure how I was going to, express all this without giving, a lot of degrees here, a lot of information. Uranus has been hanging around the United States sixth house. That has to do with our health care, which, of course, for the last 5 years has been a great deal to talk about our health care and what a shambles that system is in. Thank you, Michael Moore. And, Hillary Clinton, who has been, saying this, much longer than that, we've got to do something about this. The report just came out that, once again, I think we're now dead last, in the Western world for health care, which is pretty darn sad, dead last in the, not just Western world, it's like, how did this happen? What is wrong with us? We have so much to offer. We're so smart about stuff. We have so many resources. What's going on here? So as Uranus goes through our sixth house, we'll continue to come up with new and different ways. The big difference is now Saturn has entered our 12th house. Again, that has to do with hospitals, to some point to death, to epidemics, all kinds of things that we really don't want to think about. And we're going to have to be serious about this now. It's for the next year or so. I honestly expect Congress to actually do something. I know I'm such an optimist. I truly am. So at any rate, the next 2 years. So we'll see what happens there. I want to get back to this. What happened back in 1923 and 1924 when Uranus was at the same degree squaring the United States Venus up in the ninth house. Now, I am using the Hauck USA chart right now, which is the June 19th, 1776. And I know that gets a lot of people's hackles up. They're like, why June 19th? Why not July 4th? Well, we can do that. I always like to talk about that closer to the 4th of July. But it's June 19th, 1776 at 11:53:50 a.m. LMT time, LMT, and that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The last time that happened, a couple of fun things happened, and they were fun. On August 23rd, 1923, Yankee Stadium opened. House that Ruth built, I think it's called. Yankee Stadium opened up, so that was kind of fun. And on February 12th, that's 1924, but it still was up because Uranus is going back and forth. Let me stick with 1923 first. Warren G. Harding died that year. Our president died in office August 2nd, 1923. Uranus was in the same degree. I know there's been all this speculation about presidents who were elected on those Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions that they pass away in office. And I know a lot of astrologers were jumping up and down all over the place about George Bush, and it was actually Ronald Reagan. When he was shot in office, did not pass away. And then he did die the following Jupiter-Saturn time period. He passed away then. Warren G. Harding dies on August 2nd, 1923. Okay, so we've got one, kind of happy thing, and one thing that certainly affected the country greatly. Calvin Coolidge became president after that. And on February 12th, 1924, again, Uranus is back at that 23 degrees of Aquarius. for the first time it was performed publicly, Rhapsody in Blue, George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and it has the most recognizable opening. I'm sorry, I even tried to do that. But it's the one with Porgy and Bess. If you can think of that tune, it is such a lovely melody, and I think it's one of his best. It's certainly one of his more recognizable, you know, the world over. So the Rhapsody in Blue was first performed in New York City. IBM was incorporated on February 14th, 1924. Again, Uranus at that degree, squaring our United States natal Venus. Pardon me. In case you can't tell, I am recovering from a dreadful cold, but I am in such a good mood about it. I was not going to miss being on air tonight. But a little cough break occasionally. Okay, so the IBM was incorporated on February 16th, and that actually lasted, I believe, till February 26th. There was a dock strike in the United States, which essentially shut down transportation, you know, getting into imports and exports, not transportation, imports and exports in the United States, very much like the writer's strike is shutting down television. The only thing they've got going on is, you know, what they've got in the can, you know, what they'd already done, and these reality shows, including American Idol that just came back on, and, you know, things like that. It's funny that I don't know if you all know about the deal that was cut with David Letterman, who went in right, I guess, after Christmas. And, you know, it's like, look, you know, everybody's been off for 2 months now. We need to go back to work, you know, because no one's making any money. I mean, because that's the bottom line, right? And said, how about if we write our own monologues? You know, can we, you know, I'm on your side, guys, but I got to feed everybody. So some of the talk shows are back on with the deal that they are to write their own monologues. They're not to have anyone crossing the picket line to do it. So, you know, some shows it's certainly easier than others. But anyway, so they had a dock strike. And then the other thing that happened was Calvin Coolidge, who I just, you know, said he had taken over from Warren G. Harding, and some of you may remember that from your history anyway, on February 22nd, 1924, he does the first radio broadcast from the White House. Now, FDR made the White House radio broadcast extremely popular during the war. Everyone remembers it. But Calvin Coolidge was the first one to have the radio equipment installed, which was an exciting, you know, electrical, brand new thing. And you say, well, gee, that doesn't, you know, some of these things don't sound so good, you know, people passing away or the strikes or whatever. But some of them sound quite good. And so that's what happens when you have what's called a Uranus squaring Venus. Some things are taken away very quickly, and this will happen in people's lives. But sometimes I've seen where people fall in love during a Uranus Venus square. And what will happen is it's like a Dharma and Greg thing. They fall in love with someone completely different than who they were raised with or the people they were raised with. And in some way, it will take them away from their families. But they're doing something different. They're having a wonderful time. They're creating something larger than themselves, essentially. You know, and I think you got that with Yankee Stadium, which is so recognizable, you know, up there. The Rhapsody in Blue in IBM. I mean, that was just, you know, an incredible time, an incredible company that has reinvented itself. You know, started out with, International Business Machines? They were a typewriter company, you know, and they have reinvented themselves over and over and just kept on up with things. Between, you know, the Calvin Coolidge and doing the radio thing and, the dock strike, it's something completely different. But again, that was trouble with communications there too. That was something else. So, I was, you know, I was kind of, excited, I guess, to see all these different things and to see how they're going to play out in this next month. They are exact the first time on February 18th, and I take my cue from my old friend Rick Halk, who said predict early and often, but particularly early. You know, you want to make sure that, I guess you can keep your integrity that way. If you're wrong, you're wrong, but if you're right, you know, be right way ahead of the time so people know that you're looking at your numbers and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's sort of what I'm doing. I'm sorry, my eyes were roving while I was talking. I had pulled a couple more charts because I wanted, oh, the movies. That's what the other thing I was going to mention. With Queen Elizabeth II, this was the other thing that she had in common. And I know she would hate to hear that, with Princess Di, of all things. Transiting Saturn has been in Queen Elizabeth's 10th house since last June, okay? Now, if anyone's out there, and lots of people will be, 1/12 of the people listening to it, actually, if you have Sagittarius rising, this is sidereal, not tropical. If you have Sagittarius rising, you have had Saturn transiting your 10th house, you know, since last summer, and will continue to do it for another year and a half. And what that means is you're at the top of your game, or should be. People are noticing what you do, and you are expected to be responsible. I always am amazed when I see people who, you know, 4 years ago, when they should have been working like Trojans, essentially, when they just decided, okay, I can't stand doing what I'm doing anymore, they quit. But then they don't go do anything else. And it's like, no, now's the time. This is when your ship is sailing. You need to be on it so people can see how good you are. Because they're going to pay attention to you anyway. So who do you want paying attention to you? You know, you want positive attention. And Queen Elizabeth has been getting quite a bit of attention, you know, movies coming out about her, books, you know, stuff. I mean, more than usual than, you know, what you would have just being queen anyway. And when you have, you know, these big changes in your life, that is generally when you'll see something transiting up there like Saturn. You know, you can't help it. It's like it is almost transpersonal. These are these big life-changing moments that you know they're going to happen. It's just when they're going to happen, and this is the kind of time when it's going to happen. What Princess Di had up there, I believe, when she passed away was Jupiter, and she got all this attention and all this outpouring, and people kept saying, oh, my gosh, how could you die on that? Well, the answer is frequently that Jupiter is the release, and she certainly got an outpouring, a positive outpouring of attention, public attention, but it didn't work out that well for her children. But that was having Jupiter up there. So now Queen Elizabeth has Saturn up there, and Saturn will remain up there again for another year and a half. And anyone, again, born with Sagittarius rising sidereally, then they're going to have that experience where they're given a lot of opportunities to climb the corporate ladder, or, you know, to prove themselves that they are, you know, moving into adulthood, you know, in a positive manner, in a certain way. They're given lots of responsibilities and getting a lot of attention to see how they fulfill those responsibilities. Let me... wanted to talk about what's going on with everybody's life in general. I'm actually kind of excited that I got through all that in one fell swoop. And like I said, again, it's just it's interesting to see how times, you know, fold out like that. Oh, before that, I did want to mention, okay, today was like the worst day in stock market history again, and everybody's like, what? You know, what that happens. It was way down. I'm thinking, is this the worst of it? No, this is not the worst of it. I know it's going to drop again. When Neptune moves into Aquarius, which will do that at the end of April, and it's only going to be there a short while, and then it's going to come back, that is when we ought to see a heck of a dip with hopefully with oil prices, which should actually make the stock market rise. But we should see a dip then at the stock market that we have not seen before. And this is going to be a reaction probably to the environment. Let me go back to the United States chart. Oh, thank you for that slight coughing fit again with that disruption. Here we go, United States chart. When Neptune moves, it is actually going to get into our sixth house. That's so much oil. God, that's oil. I should change our day-to-day life as to how we do things here in the United States. So what I would be expecting to see is finally more, I know there's places that already have them. If you're listening in California, you're one of them. More bicycle lanes. Public transportation, to some extent, but it would have to be electric. But even then, you need, you know, certain types of fuel to run that, unless we're running it different ways. But I would expect the shock of what's going on, that to cause the stock market to really, you know, go down. Again, same time period, right after that, the North Node will be moving into the United States fifth house, which is actually very good. That's a fine thing. That's you should see 18 months of different types of art things coming out, things that have a lasting appeal, you know, for the public. And that'll be very nice. But so I'm not, you know, even though if it dips, if you have your money in stocks right now, and if you have your money in what I call common sense stocks, not necessarily penny stocks, but common sense stocks, companies that are doing well and look like they're going to continue to do well, just hold on with them. If you are gambling with things, I wouldn't be gambling with anything I couldn't afford to lose. That would be the only thing I'd have to say about that. It just doesn't make any, you know, sense at right now with the way things are. This whole Mars retrograde thing with Mars, it's been up in our 10th house, and of course, you know, the world watches us anyway, but it's watching us with what we're doing in respect, you know, of course, to the war and our public races, you know, as they heat up and cool down and do everything else that they do as we decide who we're going to choose to run for president. When Mars goes direct in 2 weeks, I would expect the United States to have the economy to come back. That's what I was trying to get around to. In 2 weeks' time, whatever this dip is that we had today, whatever caused the dip, and again, probably oil going up again, that should, you know, like rebound back, which is nice. You know, so I'm not terribly worried. Recession perhaps, but not a depression. And I know it's easy to point doom and gloom, and it's easy to say, well, gee, you know, the foreclosures are really high and the rest of that. But this is an election year, and common sense would just tell the politicians, gee, if I don't help, you know, the parties that are in power now should be scrambling to try to help people to, you know, just keep as many seats as possible. And the parties that want to get in to where people already are, you know, it's the first thing they can, you know, promise and hopefully do something about to make everybody happy with them. It's like, you know, save people from their overextended credit and from mortgages that have gone way too high. It's the transportation costs that are driving everything else up, though, and that's what's going to have to be addressed. I am not certain, I mean, astrologically, you know, how those prices are going to drop. I just do not see that dropping. There's nothing, you know, here that will say that they're coming down. And that's kind of a darn shame. So we'll either figure out a way to, you know, eat more food locally as opposed to, you know, importing it from places, which will, you know, should have an effect on the market just, you know, in itself. Or we will perhaps eat less as we do now, or consume less, you know, in all ways, shapes, or forms, and, you know, just kind of get by that way. It is not, you know, the end of our economy. You know, that's not, is not what's happening. So, like I said, I'm an optimist by heart, so I can't, you know, I almost refuse to see, you know, things winding their way down. But I'm also, you know, fairly realistic, and I'd like to, you know, if I know tough times are coming up, you know, and I will, you know, stock up on extra or, you know, protect myself in some way, shape, or form. But I do see us coming out of this. Now, democracies or kingdoms or anything else, you know, they don't live forever. But I think we're a long way off, you know, from trailing off into, you know, the sunset with happy memories. So, at any rate, that's what that looks like for me. Let me see. In the news, there's a couple of people I wanted to talk to. They were picking on last week, and I thought that was just kind of a shame that they were doing that. There's a couple. I'm just pulling these charts up here. Search all files. That might be quicker. Okay, here we go. All right. In the news last week, I was kind of annoyed by this. I have you know, some celebrity clients or entertainment clients. Like I prefer thinking of them as opposed to celebrity. So my politician clients are considered celebrities too in their own right, but entertainment clients. And I've often said it is not illegal, you know, to be famous in this country. And it's just it is insane that we treat some of these people that you know, they do entertain us and we want them to, and we seem to revel in their demise. I guess vicariously somehow, but they annoyed me. The paparazzi annoyed me when they were picking on Hillary Duff, who was born September 28th, 1987. Now, anyone born September 28th of any year, the sun was in Virgo. She's 11 degrees Virgo, and last week they got her for, you know, doing a bad job lip syncing as she was doing a concert walking across the stage. Most performers, that type of performance, pop singers, rock and roll singers, well, pop singers certainly, who do a lot of, you know, dancing or movements or whatever, will have portions of their songs lip-synced, pre-recorded. It saves their voice and allows them to be able to move around, and still the melody, you know, carries. And they're not coughing and wheezing like I am right now. So it is not an unusual thing. And I would tell you that Hillary Duff as a person is this decent, smart, charming, funny, good-hearted, you know, young woman as you're going to find anywhere. And this is the case of Jupiter is transiting her 10th house, you know, having a good year, having a lot of good things happen, but it got really close. It got up to her midheaven. And when a planet is on your midheaven, no matter what that planet is, people really see you, and they will either be tough on you, or they will give you extra credit, or they will give you things, you know, bonuses, raises. In the case of Jupiter being up there, which is an excellent planet in general, what it did was it made a mountain out of a molehill, and that's what it did. Now, it is over, essentially. You know, it had a couple days airplay. And the only reason I mention this is because anyone else, Jupiter right now is in Sagittarius. If you have your midheaven in Sagittarius, and again, all this is sidereal, not tropical. So if all you have is a tropical chart at home, you need to get yourself a sidereal one. And you can do that for free by going to mybirthchart.com and looking for a free chart. It's got there on the side there. Get a free chart. It's emailed to you. It doesn't have interpretations, but you'll get the numbers. Or you can go to searchbythestars.com and put in anybody's birth date, including your own if you want, but anybody's birth date to get a free gift profile for that person. And I do believe if you have the birth time, I say I do believe because even though those are my sites, I'm not in charge of writing them. That's not my job. But you should be able to get midheaven up there. So anyway, so if you have the Sagittarius midheaven all year long while Jupiter is in Sagittarius, the boss will see you. So if you're doing good things, it gets exaggerated. You get more credit than what you deserve. And I always tell people, you know, make sure, you know, that everybody gets the credit they should have. But or acknowledge people that helped you work on a project. But if for some reason they are of mind, of a paparazzi mind, or, you know, where people aren't happy about things, they will make mountains out of molehills. They will just make whatever you do seem a lot worse than what it was, which is a little bit of a shame. But if you know that, then you can simply be on guard and be ready to either ignore it with grace and let it blow over quickly, or be ready with an explanation, like, look, you know, this is why I do what I do, or why I did what I did, sorry I'm human, you know, kind of thing. It's up to your personality as much as anything else. But that would be anyone who has a sidereal Pisces rising, or a Pisces ascendant, but Pisces rising. You're going to have Sagittarius in the 10th house. You don't necessarily have your midheaven in the 10th house. The way I do astrology, the way all sidereal astrologers do astrology, your midheaven can fall anywhere from the 8th to the 12th house. But more than likely, it will be in the 10th. And if that's the case, you will notice all year long, people will notice what you're doing and, you know, give you a chance to expand on it, good, bad, or indifferent. So I said always take the good side. I'll always do the good thing. If you enjoy the radio shows that you hear on BBS Radio, I would encourage you to do a couple things. One, you can go to the donate button on the BBS site and, you know, do a monthly or a one-time donation, you know, in any amount. You know, show the guys you appreciate the work that you do and you're helping it along. And certainly, I would encourage you to buy from the BBS host. You know, that also helps support their efforts and helps support their shows. BBS will have its own bazaar coming soon, so you will be able to, you know, pick and choose a lot easier. Right now, you have to, you know, go to each site and figure it out, you know, who has what. But I would encourage you to support everyone that you listen to here on BBS. My websites are searchbythestars.com, and I've got a book out, giftgivingbythestars.com. I'm not .com, giftgivingbythestars, which will certainly be helpful for anyone who wants to go beyond the flower and candy thing on Valentine's, and mybirthchart.com, where the ever-popular Zodiac Challenge is, where you can see for yourself you know, what fits you better, sidereal or tropical? And, of course, we have keychains. We have all those little magnets and whatnot there with personality readings. And we also have the consultations there. So I would, again, you know, all the hosts here on BBS radio would certainly appreciate your support. And I know you all, you know, want to hear us, and we certainly want to keep doing what we're doing. All right, I just want to mention before I'm off the air here. Oh, actually, I got a couple more minutes. Good, so I will mention this. Mercury retrograde is coming up on January 29th. Now, I've had a couple of guests over the past year, and they're darn good astrologers. They are terrific astrologers, and they have said repeatedly, you do not have to freak out during Mercury retrograde. I would agree. You do not have to freak out. However, I am certainly of the opinion that there are things that you just are smarter not doing unless you were born with Mercury retrograde. I've over the years I have run experiments, and you know, some things just, again, it you lose because you don't know to ask the right questions. That's usually the problem with the Mercury retrograde. There'll be misprints, people will not hear you, or you do not hear them. They're thinking about something else while they're talking to you, all kinds of reasons. And it'll last for 3 weeks. I tell people, if your car breaks down, yes, go get it fixed. Do not wait. You got to get it fixed. But I wouldn't necessarily buy a new car then, unless, of course, I was born with Mercury retrograde, which I was not. So, in the next 2 weeks, if you can get your taxes done, that's part of why I'm mentioning it now, please get your taxes done before Mercury goes retrograde, or wait until after it goes direct again, because you really do not want to make a mistake with that. And I know a lot of people are waiting until January 30th to have, statements sent out from their mortgage companies or from, their employers or whatever. To get the W-2 forms out. If that's the case, then you may want to wait until the end of February to get your taxes done. You just do not necessarily want to be doing that during Mercury retrograde. Any other papers that you have to file, passports, you have to update, you know, anything, shot records, get all that done in the next 2 weeks if you can, or if not, wait. As far as the Mars retrograde is concerned, as far as the Mars retrograde is concerned, again, for the next 2 weeks, if there is a situation which has been upsetting you and you want to communicate it and someone is not hearing you, or the town is not hearing you, or the business is not hearing you, you can keep asking them, or you can keep presenting your case, but you cannot be aggressive about it. If you do not get the results that you want in 2 weeks, then you can step up, I will say, your insistence, not necessarily your attacks, but yes, that's what they may feel like after being frustrated for so long. But for the next 2 weeks, you guys, Roy Blunt Jr.'s mom would say, be sweet. You just must be sweet. It's the only way to be able to get through to somebody whatever it is you want to impart without them assuming that, you know, they'll just shut you down, because they will assume that you're a loose cannon, and that's what you don't want to have happen during a Mars retrograde. You don't want to be seen as the aggressor in any way, shape, or form. Defender, yes. Aggressor, no. Tomorrow, if you go to blogger.com and look up Horoscope Lady, I will do a recap of this evening, and you can post either comments on this evening or questions for next week. I find that's an easier way to answer than trying to email me on my business email, because I don't always pick that up. My office angel Mary does, and anyway, it's just easier to do that, to keep it separate. Because she's going to pull, of course, the paying customers first. And everybody else, I'm delighted to answer your questions if I see them, but I may not see them. So that just works out like that. That's it. Go to blogger.com and look under Horoscope Lady to see a recap of this evening's show. And again, you can post questions for next week for yourself. You also can see the weekly horoscopes, sidereal horoscopes. If you have not checked them out before, they are free on mybirthchart.com and searchbythestars.com, and again, blogger.com under Horoscope Lady. Well, that's all the time I have this evening. Thank you all so very much, and thank you also for putting up with my occasional coughing fits here, but like I said, the snow was so pretty today, that just made me feel better. Y'all go out and have a great week. Bye now.